title lesson that the Bible is a difference maker. It's a book that will change your life if you will abide by it. And here's the text. In the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 19, I'm going to read it for you, verses 7 through 11. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." The lesson comes from that text this evening, and you can see on the chart, and you kind of look through it, there are six titles for the Bible, or maybe five, and I put verse 9, fear of the Lord, but in that second column going down. And then these six descriptive terms portray the Bible not just as a book to be read, but a book to be obeyed. Judge, you have the words like law, judgments, statutes, testimony, commandments. Those are things to be obeyed, not just read. In the third column, you have the adjectives. You know, and then not till we get to the final column do we find the application. You're the heart of the message of this text. Then that last column where he said, "This is what the Bible is going to do for me," the psalmist says. So this tells the power of the Bible to change our life, and that's the heart of our message this evening. So the rest of after below the chart in your notes or the outline, give you the 9 action statements about the Bible in this text that was just read to us. Number 1, the Bible will restore your soul. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, or restoring the soul. See, so the Bible is one of God's change agents. It has the ability to move us, to put us in alignment, if you would. You know, one cannot become a Christian without the Bible. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 14, "How can they believe in him in whom they've not heard?" So if someone said, "Well, I know somebody who's a Christian," they don't have a Bible. Well, they heard God's message somehow, somewhere. They were taught by somebody. They heard that message. We wouldn't know how to know God without the Bible message. I know we can know God from creation, or at least we can think about a creator from creation. You know, Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." But when we just look at the heavens, we think, oh, we look at a fine design, there must be a designer. We look at a building, there must be a builder. But the builder and the design doesn't give us any information about the creator. You look at creation, must be a creator. But we really don't know whether there's one or 1,000 creators. All we know, there has to be a creator or creators. So we need information. And God has given that through his word, through the Bible. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, "You purified your souls in obeying the truth." Verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God." See, the word of God has power to change our lives, to move us in a particular direction. That's number 1. 2, the Bible renews your mind. Well, it restores your soul, renews your mind. Verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, making me wise. See, the Bible gives, gotta make the application for that, the Bible gives practical guidance that we need so we know how to live. We read God's Word, and sometimes you read a section and says, oh, I need to do that. Sometimes we read God's Word and says, ooh, I better not that. We get the warning. The Bible's God's wisdom too. It's kind of like the owner's manual when you get with your car. We need to read that to get the best out of our car. At least that's what they tell me. But that owner's manual tells you about all those maintenance requirements. Oh. And I need to do that. Number three, the Bible will rejoice your heart. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So one of God's best ways to lift your spirit is for us to read His Word. We need to go to the Bible. Read it. Now, if you're new at reading the Bible, I don't recommend the book of Leviticus to start out with. But maybe the Psalms and one of the Gospels. Someone said, well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I said, I would ask you, have you read the book of Mark first. It's the shortest. Get you started. We have printed helps. I know in my back of my Bible has this little section that they put, you know, God's answers to man's concerns. And it has all these things. You know, if you want to know how to abide in Christ, it gives you a few verses to read. If you want to know about answered prayer or Christ's love or courage, divine comfort, divine deliverance. Oh, I want that. So there's some verses that they refer me to. If I want to know about forgiveness, or God's care for you, there's some verses that I can go to. This author or whoever wrote this up recommended this reading. Want to know about heaven or joy? Spiritual strength? See, so the Bible will rejoice our heart when we read. Number four, the Bible will refocus our vision. It will refocus our vision. Verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. See, God's word gives clarity of vision. When we see things as they are, it will help us to, I think, in one way, stay out of trouble. And God's word gives us that direction. You know, His word's a lamp unto our feet, a light to our pathway, Psalm 119, verse 105. See, the Bible will refocus our vision. It'll get put us in look the right way. The Bible helps us to see ourselves as we really are. In need of salvation. In need of forgiveness. In need of help. In relationships. The Bible is going to refocus our vision. Number five. The Bible will reinforce your life. Verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. If something is forever, that means it's going to last. The Bible's not going to change. And the Bible won't let us down. It will never fail. It's never out of date. It will be there when you need it. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So the value of God's word, the value of when we assemble together, we involve ourselves in those songs, in our prayers, in our Lord's Supper, in our offering, and then also a time for me to stand up and give a lesson from God's Word. It'll reinforce your life. Number six, the Bible will replace your doubts. Verse 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. True and righteous. You know, in life, there's a lot of things that we may not know to be true. We may think they're true, and then later we find out, oh, that wasn't true, but I thought it was the whole time. You know, even our newspaper, in the weekly newspaper, or the daily newspaper on A2, when you turn pages, right in that lower left-hand corner, corrections from yesterday's paper. Things they got wrong, but you read the paper on Sunday or Monday and think, oh, I thought that was true, until you read 2 A, page 2 at the bottom left-hand corner. That God's word is true, John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. And that's Jesus' prayer to God. Father, your word is true. So when you read the Bible, you and I have that confidence that it's withstood the centuries of people trying to discredit it. People may be trying to diminish it, destroy it. But we have that confidence, as the psalmist is saying here, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And so the Bible's lasted. And it's still relevant. Number 7, the Bible will reorder your values. It'll reorder your values. Verse 10. More to be desired are they, meaning these judgments of God, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. See, the Bible is of far more value than many people give it credit. And you see the progression. The Bible, it's gold and it's fine gold. It's honey and the honeycomb. Oh, that's good. It's of more value than things money can't buy. It's like choosing something else than what the Bible offers. It's like a child who chooses the penny over the dime because the penny is bigger. You have my two grandsons. They're 7 and 8 now, but younger. Would you rather have these 5 pennies or a quarter? You know what they take? The 5 pennies. There's more. They haven't learned the value of the treasure yet. But one day, maybe when they're 18 or 19, well, maybe when they're 33, would you rather have 5 pennies or a quarter? They'll take the quarter. And now they've learned the value. Same thing with the Word of God. People read it and they say, it's of no value to me. And then they diminish it or discredit it, push it aside. No, I don't need to read that. But once you learn the value, it's more precious than gold, yea, than fine gold, more precious than honey and the honeycomb. In Proverbs 23, verse 23, it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Something of that. Number 8, the Bible will redirect your path. Verse 11. Moreover, by them, meaning the judgments in the text that was read, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Oh, need some warnings in life, don't we? We have warnings in life, even in society. And the Bible's full of warnings, or it has warnings in there. But I don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to read the Bible because they say, oh, the Bible just tells me what I can't do. But you think it through, warnings are great. Warnings keep us out of trouble. Warnings protect us. You know, when our world does that, you think of all the warning signs in your life and mine, that here's a sign that says, don't touch. Don't enter. Don't run with scissors. Don't cross when the lights are flashing. Don't check your gas tank with a match. All those warnings that come around, they're of value. They're for our benefit, for our protection. We need those warnings. The Bible tells us things to avoid so that we don't get hurt. And God tells us something to leave. And you know, God has never asked us to leave anything unless it would harm us. If something's going to harm us, either physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, God says, the Bible says, don't do that. God's never asked you to leave anything that's good for us. only the things that will hurt us. Always. The Bible will redirect your path. The last one, number 9. The Bible will reward your obedience to it. It will reward your obedience. Verse 11. And in keeping them, meaning the judgments, there is great reward. I think all of us can attest to that. We've, over the years, through experience, from us giving, not only giving our worship to God, but our obedience to God and reading God's word in our daily life and in our worship assemblies, we know the good rewards go to those who follow the rules. In Romans 2, verse 7, Paul gave a warning. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, they'll give eternal life. Oh, that's what I want. My hand goes up. I want eternal life. In verse 10, glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good. That's what I want. So I'm going to try to work good. In Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful till death, I'll give you the crown of life. So that we see the Bible will reward our obedience to it. So there's these 9 things that we've listed. I didn't write these things in your notes, but you know, if you noticed, but the words began with the letter R. The Bible will restore your soul. Number 2, it renews your mind. Number 3, it will rejoice your heart. Number 4, it will refocus your vision. Number 5, it will reinforce your life. Number 6, it will replace your doubts. Number 7, it will reorder your values. Number 8, it will redirect your path. Number 9, it will reward your obedience. So there was a theme you didn't know about. That went through that lesson. Always when we assemble on Sunday, on Lord's Day, or when we assemble for worship, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. We do that to give we who are here time to respond publicly if that's needed. You can certainly ask brethren for help and encouragement in the aisle, in the foyer, in the parking lot, on the telephone. We can certainly do that. But while we're gathered here, there may be one here this evening that would say, would you pray for me for a particular situation? We can do that. Or one may say, well, I'd like more information about being a Christian or how to become a Christian. And there's a simple plan or process that we teach. You know, number one, you need to hear the Word of God, obviously. You know, Jesus said, come learn of me in Matthew 11, verse 33. Learn. Number 2, you'll want to believe the things you've learned. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Well, I want to believe too. Then number 3, you'll want to repent of your sins or turn your life around. Jesus said it in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, repent or perish. Then number 4, you'll want to, in this process, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. The Ethiopian did that in Acts chapter 8. Philip preached to him Jesus, and the Ethiopian interrupts his sermon and says, here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, stop the chariot. And then that's number 5. They both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So there's a simple plan or formula or steps or ingredients in that birth process of becoming a Christian. And then once you've been baptized, you've completed the birth process. From that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus. It's as a physical newborn babe doesn't know very much, but they grow. Boy, they grow. So that's the lesson. That's the invitation.